In a surprising move this week, after delivering the budget, Michael Gunna resigned as the Chief Minister of the Northern Territory. Today, Natasha Files has been elected as the new Chief Minister after a Labour caucus meeting. Mr. Gunna was the first Territorian to be Chief Minister, but what else did he bring to the NT's government? I asked Professor at the Northern Institute from Charles Darwin University, Rolf Gerritsen, his thoughts on Mr. Gunner's resignation and his last budget as the NT's chief minister.
For my sins, I'm regarded as somewhat of an authority on Northern Territory politics and economics. And so I started reading the budget on Tuesday morning. And as I read through, I thought, this is a pre-election budget. Very odd, because you know that when governments get elected, the first budget, they implement the promises they've made. And then the next budget, they start trying to reduce expenditure and increasing revenues. So the pre-election budget has enough money for them to then offer goodies to we poor electors to vote for them. And this budget that was coming down was a classic pre-election budget. Lots of expenditure and very bright predictions for the revenue side in the future. I couldn't work out, because we have fixed terms in the Northern Territory, four-year fixed terms, and the government is mid-term. Anyway, it all became clear when the Chief Minister, at the end of his budget speech, said, oh, and by the way, I'm going to nick off and look after the kids. You know, what we've got is, in effect, a Gunner legacy budget. His resignation was a complete surprise.
So what are some of the achievements Michael Gunner had during his time as the Chief Minister of the Northern Territory?
I think his main achievement is to produce stable government. The previous government, the one that the current Labor government overthrew, the CLP government of Mills and then Giles, was comprehensively unstable and erratic, to the point where the Territory was making front page news in the eastern states because of chief ministers who refused to resign and threw their mobile phone into swimming pools and all sorts of nonsense. So he restored, if you like, stability and dignity to government. So I see that as his main achievement. And he's kept the system going. It's a hopeless system, but he's kept going in a stable fashion.
So what were some of the bad decisions that Michael Gunner's government did in the Northern Territory, you think?
The same bad decisions that have plagued us for the last 35 years. The Northern Territory state is built on the misappropriation of money, supposedly for Aboriginal purposes, into propping up a very elaborate system and over-expenditure in Darwin. He has done nothing about that, but I'm absolutely confident that the next Chief Minister and the one after that will do nothing about it either, and so that Aboriginal disadvantage and dysfunction will persist.
So what are the consequences of Michael Gunner's resignation just before the federal elections next week?
I mean, there are only two seats in the Northern Territory. One is the seat of Solomon, which is essentially Darwin, and then one is the seat of Lingiari, which is essentially the rest of the Northern Territory. So it's the second biggest electorate in Australia, right after Durack in the northern part of Western Australia. And the biggest issue at the moment in the Northern Territory is crime. Now, crime is a state responsibility, but the Prime Minister, quite cunningly or cleverly, depending on which side of politics you apply to, during his visit to Alice Springs, promised a large amount of money, $14 million, to deal with the crime issue. So that the Conservatives, in the Territory they call the Country Liberal Party, have deliberately linked what is essentially a state issue with crime, that's police, courts, etc., right? The federal government's not responsible for those, have quite cunningly linked this domestic crime issue to the federal election campaign. And the crime issue in the Territory was uniquely anti-Chief Minister, because he was seen as doing nothing about it. So the removal of the Chief Minister removes what I would consider to be a lightning rod for discontent over that issue. And then what happens is that the normal federal issues that occur in the western suburbs of Sydney or the northern suburbs of Melbourne will start becoming more important here, because you have to understand the seat of Solomon is essentially an urban area. The seat of Lingiari has a number of white fella towns down the Stuart Highway spine, so which runs north-south to Adelaide, to Alice Springs, Tennant Creek, Katherine, and the rural area of Darwin. And so we have the seat of Lingiari is in effect two distinct electorates. There's the Aboriginal electorate, which is all of Aboriginal communities, and that's about 40% of the electorate, potentially. And then there's the white towns now. people regard the Northern Territory as some kind of frontier, you know, where we engage in outlandish acts and eat cane toads and whatever. The reality is that white fellas in the Northern Territory live basically suburban lives. They go to work in the morning, they come home in the evening, they watch television at night, we drink too much. But, you know, generally we're essentially indistinguishable from the suburbanites in the rest of Australia. And so that part of the electorate in the past has essentially followed national patterns. So if there's a swing to the Conservatives, there will be a swing to the Conservatives in the Whitefella part of the electorate of Lingiari and in the seat of Solomon. The removal of Gunner removes that the equation of crime with the federal election is weakened.
That was Professor at the Northern Institute from Charles Darwin University, Rolf Gerritsen.